Okay, let's see. I don't have too many announcements. Just to remember the VBS squad there. We're having a still formulating, and plans are being made. Actually, plans are finished. We're just kind of tidying up things and getting things in place and preparing, I guess you could say. But just keep that in prayer, and I think that's all I have. And we can go ahead and dismiss the children. All right. Today we are in still the doctrinal statement, and we're on God's sovereignty or God's rulership, number three. And also, I think we're going to get into marriage, number one. I don't know for sure, but that's the plan anyways. My plan is always a little different from God's, but hey, we're here, and we'll just go along with the flow, right? So this is what we have, and before we get going, let's take a minute of silent prayer, and that just means that we can get in, of course, be filled with the Spirit. Fellowship is part of that, and another part of that is that we can then grow spiritually, learn the Word, just glorify God. So we do that by confessing our sins privately before God the Father. So let's take a minute, and we'll do that, and then we'll get started. Let's pray. Dear Father, we are just always blown away by everything that your plan unfolds as it comes to us in our lives. And we just thank you so much for the ability to see it, to live in it, to understand it, and just to learn it day to day. And we are just so grateful for it. We thank you so much for the Word, and we ask today that we can continue to learn and grow spiritually, and just live the life that you desire us to live. So we thank you, and we ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So here we are to number three. And if you remember, we were looking at Joseph's life, and it was interesting. You know, Joseph went through a lot of things. And you look at that, his life, and you say, well, wow, he had every reason to get mad at everybody. Including God, no. But really, see, when you see things like that, there's a lot of misfortunes and a lot of unjust treatments and a lot of things that he didn't deserve, rightly deserve. And so we see those things, or we experience those things as people, and we tend to look in places we shouldn't be looking. We look to ourselves. We say, well, what's my problem? We look to people. We say, well, they're causing it. We look to God. We question God. But the reality is, if we don't have that divine perspective about God's plan and God's control and God's sovereignty moving his plan forward, we just lose perspective completely. And Joseph kept that perspective, because if he didn't, he wouldn't have ended up where he was. Remember, God used him in a very specific way, because he knew that he could handle where he was bringing him. God is always doing something, right? And it's no different for us. So we have to remember there's a precise plan, very precise. And that plan that God is in control of includes you. It includes your ups and downs. It includes the adversity, of course. Got to have that in there, right? Training. And it includes your spiritual growth all along the way. So, yes, God is in control. And at the same time, he wants control of you. He wants control of your hearts. He wants control of your soul. And that happens, we know, through the Holy Spirit, of course, and also through the learning, the truth that God wants us to know. Because that's really what guides you, right? God's thoughts in you, his word, is what divine guidance is all about. If you don't have the necessary things to think with, well then, you're going to guide yourself in the wrong direction, because there's only two ways to go on that. So here's at least four things that we can think about when it comes to God's sovereign control over your life and circumstances. And this is coming out, pulled out of Joseph's life, but guess what? No different with our lives, right? Because we go through things that we wish we weren't a part of, or that we say, why did this happen? And these are just a few things that we need to think about when we're in these circumstances. The first one is it's meant for good. God never does anything without intention that is completely and totally meant for your benefit as a human being, as a believer, and even for the unbeliever. God is always doing things to try to get us moving in His direction, no matter what. Across the board, human beings. He loves us before we loved Him, and that applies to every single person. Jesus Christ died for every single person in this world. Actually, every person that's ever been alive, right? Or ever will be. And so, when we're going through these things, we have a tendency to say, oh, well, this is meant for my detriment, or this is meant for my, to be a negative part of my life. But that's not true. You have to remember that these things are designed for you to get, not only get through them, but to let God get you through them. Big difference there. You know, we can separate that getting through them without God as well. And all of a sudden, guess what? This isn't meant for my good anymore. It's meant to hurt me. It's meant to put me in a bad mood. It's meant to get me down. You see the difference? Totally different mindset if you're not thinking that this is meant for my good. Because guess what? This isn't going to show you that it's good. The only good that you're going to see is when God is, the Holy Spirit is filling you, guiding you, influencing you, and you're thinking with the necessary truths that you need to think with. That's when you begin to see divine good and God's purposes moving forward in a way that is perfect. That's how God's plans work, right? They're perfect. So that's important. They're always meant for good. Because, you know, when you start to think or visualize something that is not good, that's when everything starts to crumble. That's when we start to point the fingers. That's when we start to look for solutions that are not found in the places that we need them, which is usually everything but God, right? You get the point. Human solutions, they're just not solutions, right? They're temporary. So be careful, because God does it for our divine good, and that is a lot different and sometimes completely different from people and are what we view as maybe good or bad or whatever. So, and the next one is preparation. You know, this is a good one, because we often forget that God is preparing us. He is preparing you for the next stage of what you're going to be in next. It doesn't matter what it is, but it's something. And it's always getting more, it's growing in intensity, because God needs your spiritual growth and He needs the preparation for what you're going to next. So if we lose sight of what God is doing, we lose sight of the fact that He's preparing us for something that we seriously need to take into account to use in that next part of our life. That's a big deal, right? If you lose sight or take a sidestep on that preparation that God is seriously needing you to be in, guess what we're kind of extending? We're extending that time. We're wasting time, in a sense, because God is waiting on us, just like He waited for the Jews to get through the desert, right? There was a lot of bad decisions that they made along the way that extended that time. You know, if they were faithful from day one, if they did everything right, guess what? They probably would have been there in a week or two to the promised land. But that's not how life works. That's not how we work. That's not how they worked. But I'm just trying to show you a point here, is that God's plan is working alongside the way you think. And that plan is perfect. We just have to realize all these things that He's doing. And one of those is preparation. Preparation. Look at Joseph. He was definitely preparing him. You go from brothers that are hating you, mistreating you, trying to turn your father against you, lying, all these unjust things, moving forward, still having some of these things happen, right? With the king's, Potiphar's wife, unjust in jail. I mean, you have to think he was at one point just, why? Why me? In jail with no family, no friends, no nothing, right? But he was there. God had a plan. God meant it for his good. And God was preparing him. And, you know, I think Joseph realized that. Because he made it to where he was going in God's plan. And he was successful. And that's the whole idea, right? God is trying to move you. He's trying to get you to go somewhere. And yes, he is in control. But at the same time, he needs you on board. Or else he'll just replace you with somebody else. He's got many, many positive believers on this earth that he can use besides us when we decide to take a break. Or we decide to say, you know what, that's not for me. Or, you know what, yeah, I know I have a calling, but I got a lot of other things to do. Right? So preparation is so vital in this thing, because Joseph definitely used every single thing that he went through, and he used it when he got to where he was going. And you will too. You will too. All those negatives that you think are negative, God is meaning them for good, and they are good. Because once you go through something like that and you pass that test, guess what? On the other side, you are able to not only pass that test with flying colors again, but the amperage is raised, the bar is raised on your level to grow even more and be blessed even more in God's plan. So continue to glorify God. The third example I have here is placement. You know, you don't ever think about this too much, because we're pretty stationary. We don't move around too much, right? We're where we're going to be. But at the same time, you do move. You do move. Don't necessarily think about the long term. Think about day-to-day movement, right? Yeah, we can see over our life as well. There's a couple variances of that, right? Your life movement, and then you have a day-to-day, where does God want you to go? What does he want you to do? We have those questions in our mind on a daily basis. What does he want me to do today? What do you have for me today, God? Well, that's a very specific way. It's a very specific thing that we need to be focused on. Otherwise, we're not focused on where he's trying to place us or put us or direct us to, or get us in a specific place to where, hey, this guy doesn't have a clue about who Jesus Christ is. You know, if we're too busy doing something that is outside the plan of God, where God is trying to put you is far away from your thinking. So it's not where we want to be. And I think Joseph is a perfect example of that. You see him going from the farm all the way to royalty in, you know, with everything that he possibly could have wanted, including authority, including wealth, everything. But it just goes to show you that God's in control. But he may not show you immediately, hey, this is going to be great, and it's going to be easy, and it's not going to hurt at all. He doesn't promise us that. He promises that his plan is perfect, and in the middle of those things where it doesn't feel good necessarily, and it's adverse, he promises that we can be content in the middle of those circumstances. He doesn't say that the circumstances are going to be great. He says, I can give you something that can get you through the circumstances with leaving them the same. Not changing the circumstances. Of course, we know they do change, but that's what he offers us, and that's powerful. Placement. He's always doing something, and he wants to do something in your life, move you, put you somewhere. Just be focused on that. Pay attention. And then the fourth thing is, of course, that I think goes along with all this, right, is God's timing. I mean, you know, God's timing is just so critical. If you want to do anything in this life, the last thing you want to do is go outside of God's timing. That's the last thing. Because everything that Joseph went through in his life, I'm sure he made mistakes, right? He's a human being just like we are. But overall, if we can stay on the upward pattern, which means growing spiritually constantly, right, we can self-correct. We can fail and get back up and continue to move. You know, there's so many people that I run into that have fallen and they can't get back up because it's put them down and they've been knocked off, you could say, the path that God has for their life. you know, they need some encouragement, of course. But at the end of the day, if we can realize that, hey, this is God's timing. This is something that had to happen. It couldn't have gone any other way. You ever think about that? There's so many things that happen. You say, why the heck did that happen? It couldn't have happened any other way. God knew exactly what had to happen in your life when it had to happen. And you say, well, wait a minute, that wasn't good what I went through. No, look at these 4 points again and tell me it wasn't good. It was meant for your good. It was preparing you. It was placing you. It was putting you somewhere where God wanted you. And it was all about His timing. So when you look at all these things, you say, well, wow, God's in control. And He is fully in control because He's got so many people in the body to use. And He will juggle those people around accordingly by your volition and your faithfulness and your will and desire to move forward in His plan. His plan is going to move forward no matter what, right? His plan will move forward. So the encouragement, I think, in all this is that when we look back and we sit and we look at all these 4 things and say, hey, we can be a part of that. We can be a part of this. And we are a part of this. But if you're not thinking, if you're not aware, if you're not discerning to say, okay, this is meant for my good or it is in God's timing, you will not be glorifying God. You will not be growing spiritually and you will be stagnant in the plan of God. And all of a sudden, God will move that chess piece and someone will instantly replace you, right? His plan is moving forward no matter what. So don't waste that opportunity, because once we waste the opportunity, you know, we only live once, at least on this earth. And Joseph, you know, he could, when you take the events of his life from start to finish, he couldn't do all that over again. If he would have wasted that time and say, okay, God, I'm ready to start what you wanted me to do now, go. There's only a certain amount of time. So God has plans, He has a purpose, but He's trying to get us to wake up and see what He's trying to do. And I think these are pointing out some of those things anyways that we don't need to ignore. So, and notice that all these things were happening to Joseph, and they happened to us, that were completely out of his control. Notice that? They were completely out of his control. And I'm not saying that you're not involved. I'm not saying that you're not associated or even talking or even part of the cause of what's happening. But what I'm telling you is that what happens overall is out of your control. You cannot control circumstances in full. Remember, there's always one other person involved at least. You for sure can't control that other side of the house. So God is always in control and we're never in control, even when we think we're in control. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. I know some of you like to be in control. We like to have our plans. We like to be in a certain place at a certain time. We like to everything go a certain way. But guess what? God has a plan too. He's got a certain way that He wants things done. He's got a certain way that He wants things done and He wants them lined up. So we have to be aware of those plans and, you know, really be submissive to them, right? Be submissive to those plans. So, and it's no different with us as it is in Joseph. So in the middle of all these ups and downs, you know, hard times, good times, we got to remember that God's plan, His sovereignty, I like putting His plan with His sovereignty because those just naturally go together. He is moving it forward even in the middle of what you may see as no plan at all. This is crazy. Everybody's off the hinge. People are doing whatever they want to do. Evil is good. Good is evil. No, nothing's happening in the justice system. No. There's a very, very specific plan that's happening. Very specific. And it's all these things coming into play. And we're going to continue to see these if we stay focused on these things right here. It's so easy to lose sight of these. Easy. It's easy like that. You can walk out of here, you know, and forget that something is in God's timing just like that. It's easy to do. So, and I think a big part of understanding this, at least in the fullest sense, is that We have to remember that whenever we feel like something else is controlling or manipulating our lives, besides God, besides the Holy Spirit, that's a key indicator that we have at least somewhat, something has happened spiritually. Most likely you're not filled anymore, right? Most likely there's sin that has infiltrated and you're out of fellowship with God, whether it be momentarily, whether it be 5 minutes, whether it be a week, months, that's up to you to figure out. But what I'm telling you is if something else is controlling your life, at least in our mind, this is a relative thing because God is in control. But if something else is manipulating you and move and controlling the way you feel as a person, there's something wrong. Because if we're being controlled and manipulated and led with our feelings by what somebody else is doing or circumstances, we're not thinking right. It's not their fault because you're going to be manipulated. You're going to, at least the tempted people are going to test you, manipulate you, put you in adverse situations. That's going to happen no matter what. But what I'm trying to show you is that the way you think is the one thing that you can change and you can make a difference in. Either you can look to that person or you can look to God and his all these 4 points of what he's doing through that person that's trying to control, that's trying to manipulate, that's trying to, that jealousy is coming through and they're influencing those around you. Guess what? All these still apply in every single one of those situations. Every single one. Because they may mean it for your detriment, right? God means it for your good. So he's going to take that evil and he's going to turn it into a good no matter what. But see who wins on the other side of that. What if your reputation gets, whatever, demolished? Well, I can tell you one thing. God is just. God is a just God. He is a loving God. He is a just God and he is a faithful God. And guess what he honors? He honors faithfulness. So what he's going to do is he's going to, his justice is going to step in and say, okay, that was not right for that person to come in and manipulate you. And I'm going to honor your decisions to lean on me and glorify me in that unjust circumstances. Because he's going to say, you know what? You could have looked to that person because they were wronging you, but you didn't. You looked to me. And he goes, I'm going to honor that. I'm going to bless that. And I'm going to discipline the other side of that. That's how God's justice works. There's no other way around it. So yes, there is a winner and a loser at all times. It may not be the one that you see physically. You might say, oh man, that guy or gal has it pretty bad. They must have, you know, done something wrong. No, not necessarily. Be careful. Because what we see may have nothing to do with what God is doing and seeing in the souls and hearts of people. That's the beautiful thing about God. He can see the soul. He can see the heart, right? He knows exactly what is going on in these little bitty minds. He can see right through them in the souls. So so we've got to understand that, I think, that and when we see something that is controlling or manipulating us, hey, recognize that. You know, step back into God's plan for your specific life. So, if the circumstances ever dictate how you're going to live or how you're going to feel that day, you know, we can easily get sucked up into that. You know, oh, here we go again. I got to get up and I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to see this person. I got to see that person. Oh, it's just, you know, it gets so old, blah, 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 blah. No. Think about these 4 things, because that is the kind of attitude where it kind of detaches us, doesn't it? It detaches us because we're in the circumstances at that point, and we're detached from what God is doing, what God is working out. When we think about what God is doing, that's motivating. You say, okay, yes, he's still doing this, and he's very consistent. And nothing's changing for some reason, but at the end of the day, you know that it's all in his timing. You know that it's all meant for your good. And, of course, preparation, right, and placement are there too. So don't lose sight of these things, because you can easily be manipulated in this world. As you well know, you're human. So I think you can understand how big of a deal your perspective is on these things. The way we view things in this life is huge, the way we view them. I mean, that's everything, right? God's in control, but how do you view that control? How do you view the circumstances you're going? How do you think about them? Your perspective is everything when it comes to spiritual growth. And what I'm referring to is when I talk about perspective, all I'm saying is application. Application. What's your perspective in whatever you're going through? Is it divine or is it human? Because if it's human perspective, you might as well get in that big crowd that everybody else is in, right? God called you out of the crowd. He called you to be different. He called you to be set apart. That's what holiness means. So if you're going to be set apart, you can't be in the main crowd with everyone else. You've got to think different. You've got to see circumstances different. You get the idea, but it's no different than Joseph or with us. We have something to do here, and God wants you on board so He can work His, so we can see that. Why not be a part of it? Be a part of that benefit, right, that He wants us to be in. So throughout all of Joseph's circumstances, that you look back on the events of his life, guess what he did all throughout those circumstances? He made decisions. Thousands of decisions. Thousands and thousands and thousands of decisions that he had to make every day, every minute. There's a decision that you have to, right now, you have to make a decision, right? Am I hearing? Am I learning? Am I growing? Every day there's a decision to make. And, you know, if we make the wrong ones, guess what's going to happen? We're not going to stay on that course that God wants us to stay on. That's just the way life is. So in all these things, all these circumstances, if we don't make the right decisions, guess what that means? No application. No application. If we're not going to apply the Word of God, what's the point of the spiritual life? Of course, God wants you saved. But there's a whole lot more than just going to heaven. There's a life you have to live here that counts for heaven as well. These things are permanent that you're gaining. Divine good, right? There is rewards. There's separation in heaven. Everybody's going to be happy, but it's not going to be equal because you may live a different spiritual life than your neighbor. And God is going to honor that, whatever decisions that you made on this life that were glorifying to Him versus someone that just happened to say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they die and go to heaven. There's a difference there. Whether you think or not, there is a difference. And it's called decisions, volition, responsibility as a Christian. So you're going to have to make decisions. And we just have to remember that, are we rightly motivated? Are we doing something with good intentions? Or are we just doing them just to get someone back? Just to, you know, all this revenge, anger, bitterness type of stuff, right? I mean, it's just so easy to fall in all these traps. So are you doing it based on God's Word? Are you putting Him first? These are all questions that we can ask ourselves, because these definitely apply in everything that we do. So, because when we don't think this way, we're not living in humility. We're not submitting to God's plan for your specific life or authority. And we're not recognizing His rule over our lives. And that's not a good place to be. Because think about it. If God's in control, and He is, He's controlling your life whether you're recognizing it or not. He's controlling the unbeliever's life, even though the unbeliever is completely rejecting Him and ignoring His control. Unbeliever thinks he's in control, right? But he's not. He's not. So to be, first of all, not in control, and then to not know the one that is in control, is a bad place to be. That, to me, that's a scary place to be. To not have any control because you don't know the person who is in control. You know, you have to be in tune with your God, with the one who loves you, and the one who has a very specific way for you to go. Otherwise, guess what you have? Where do I go? I don't know what to do. Right? We have no clue. We don't have any answers. God is the one who gives us answers we need to be able to be successful in this life. There is no doubt. If you want to be successful, you can be successful. No doubt. There is no doubt in my mind. If we want to be a Joseph, we can be a Joseph. But so many people don't want to strive to the level that Joseph did. That's the only difference between us and some great person in the Bible, is how far do you want to go? That's what God gives us the option to do. How far do you want to go? I don't know. It's up to you. And there's many different levels that we see that. Some people don't want to go very far at all. Some people want to go the distance. But the reality is it's there. It's there. It's there for the taking. It's there for the taking. And guess what? It's free. You know, if you put something free on Craigslist, well, boy, we're all over that marketplace. Well, that's free? Wow. Oh, it's gone already. Notice we respond real quick to free stuff. Or you know, whoa, it's free. Well, this is free. And look at the payback that we get from it. But nobody's really interested in this, at least as much as the physical stuff, right? And what's funny is this is what can bring the physical stuff. If we're motivated by this free, the grace stuff right here, the blessings is what happens. God blesses you with the physical things, if that's what he wants to do. You can handle those too as well, right? So you don't want to be the initiator of strife. You don't want to be the initiator of strife. And we talked a lot about that last week. It had to do with gossip and the things that gossip can cause. And I understand that's a challenge for everybody, because we all have a tongue. We're all people. We all talk. And once we get off into that, you know, realm of misapplication or no application at all, just be prepared for some kickback. So, and guess which sin is usually the culprit behind all these things that gets us from ignoring God's rule? Arrogance. Pride. Right? We see that over and over and over again in the Bible. Pride is the thing that gets us off track from putting that barrier up, saying, okay, God's not in control anymore. I'm in control. This is what I want to do, and this is how I'm going to do it. Right? By golly. So, pride, arrogance, self-righteousness are all words that mean rebellion. Rebellion. And in the plan of God, when we're talking about the sovereignty, control of God, we can't have anything to do with rebellion. Because rebellion reminds me of the... Ever have some kind of dog or animal that always takes off, runs away, always run, takes off front. I had a dog like this. And, you know, the great dog would hang out with you, but something would happen and she would just take off. And she would take other dogs with her sometimes. Take off. They would run, and I would call, yell at the top of my... I was doing everything I called. There's something going on up here. I think something was wrong with her. Probably. But good dog, but she would just go. That's what we do when we rebel. We just go, and no one can call you back. No, everyone's yelling. God is yelling. Where are you going? Where are you going? And you're gone. You come back with ticks on you. You come back full of mud. You come back everything. Where did you go? Right? That's what we do. We go places where we shouldn't go. And people are recognizing these things. God is seeing these things. And he's saying, you know, come back. Well, you know, you had a perfect home over here. Why'd you run off? I get it. They had fun, you know, whatever. But it's different for us. You know, we may have temporary, momentarily fun, but the damage that does is not good, right? Spiritually and physically. So these kind of sins of rebellion are what get us out from under God's control in our mind. We're not out from under God's control. We just think we are. We just think we're out, right? We can kind of step out and do whatever we want. And all that is out, being out of fellowship with God. Because remember, fellowship is what? It's participation. It's 100% firing all four cylinders or whatever, eight. It's participation in the plan. And we do that in many different ways, right? We do it through consistency, learning, growing, filling of the Holy Spirit, and applying. Don't forget about applying. There's those three major things that must be happening all the time, or else something is off. Something's going to be off. So, and in that state of mind, all of a sudden you think your plans are more important than anybody else's plans, including God's plans for your life. Now you got something to worry about. You may not think you do, but you do. Because another thing that comes with that is not only are your plans better than others, you also assume that you're better than others. And you assume you're in a position to judge other people because of that rebellion, out of fellowship with God, lack of humility, and now all of a sudden you're judging other people. Pointing the finger, talking bad about them, spreading rumors, blah, 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 blah. The list goes on and on and on and on. But you get the idea. If we get out of that humility, out of that fellowship with God, we go in a completely different direction. Now all of a sudden, you're not concerned with your own problems. You're concerned with everybody else's problems in life. Or you're looking to create problems in their life. You know, I always wonder that. Why do we as people look to other people to look at their problems when we have our own to deal with? Look at your own family. Look at your own problem, personal problems, your own failings, your own weaknesses of the flesh. We have so much to worry about within ourselves. It's like, why do we go and just pick fights with other people? Hey, look at yourself, right? I mean, I'm talking about all of us here. Me, you, everybody, every person that has a sin nature. Just a thought. So maybe we should try to stay out of other people's business as well. So when you know God's in control, I think you do stay out of other people's business. Because when you're in fellowship, you're participating in His plan with Him. Participation, remember, that's very personal. That's very personal. This is a personal relationship with God that we have, and He wants your full, undivided attention. So, and we know that God does not take kindly to those sins or that kind of attitude of rebellion I was talking about. So let's look at this. Here's another good verse. I think I read this right at the introduction last time. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth. Yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Clearly a sovereignty passage. I mean, you could say this is a lot of different things. Omnipotence, right? There's a lot of different immutability. God doesn't change. This is the way things are right here. This is an eternal truth. This is the absolute rule of God that we're seeing here, His rulership. And you can definitely hear omnipotence in here. Did you hear that? The power, greatness, power, glory. That could definitely be an attribute of God, His glory. You know, nobody talks about that much, but glory is an attribute because that's something we're a part of. We glorify God, right? And look what all these things God has assigned in this verse. Greatness, power, glory, victory, majesty. I mean, you know, this is an infinite rank that we're looking at here. This is the top-notch over humanity, over, what does it say? Everything. Everything within the heavens, that is in the heavens and the earth. Well, I'm pretty sure that covers everything, right? It does. The word dominion here means kingdom. It means sovereignty. Dominion or reign. Reign. I think we can understand that this is God's rulership or His control over things that He's talking about in this verse. And I think it's just showing us the realm in which God's authority is directly over, which apparently is everything. So, you see that word right there, everything, don't you? Everything that is in the heavens and the earth. That covers everything. And then at the bottom, you see head over all. So you have God being, Christ being the head of the body, the head of the church. You have God being head over all. He's the head. When you think of the head, do you think of the one that is directly directly in control, or the boss over everything we do as people, right? He directs, he rules, he implements, he takes action, or he doesn't take action. Whatever he needs to do for things to go in the direction that he wants them to go, he will do. Or not do, right? Because there's a lot of things that you can make happen by not doing something, by keeping yourself out of something, right? We can stay back and watch something happen that is supposed to happen in that way if you're not supposed to be involved. Or maybe you are, but you get the idea. God will watch. We have volitions as well that he uses very effectively. So, and these are words, every one of these words are words that Satan wished he had. Man, he wished he had them so bad. And he's trying every day to try to take them. Every day he's trying to take them. Every one of these. He wants greatness. He wants the power. He wants the glory. He wants victory. And he wants majesty. He wants them all. Remember, he wants to be like the Most High. He wants to be like God. That's what he wants to do. So he, every one of these words, he thinks he is, or he's trying to gain. Not saying he is or he will, but that's what is in his mind. This is what he's going for, right? We know that. So, but the bad news is he'll never, at least in full, have them. Never. He can't. He can't. Because it says God is assigned to these things. God is these things, and he has control over the things within the realm, which Satan is in, the heavens and the earth. Satan falls in that category. So guess what? Satan is that black dog running the opposite direction, and God is the one that's controlling where that dog is going, what happens to that dog, and the fact that the dog's going to come back home and be in the lake of fire. Now I'm talking about Satan. I don't want my dog in the lake of fire. I did at times when she got back. But no, I don't. I would never want to see a dog in the lake of fire. I hope no pets are in the lake of fire, right? They don't deserve that. So they should all be given a free ticket. But you get the idea. God is controlling that opposite direction Satan is running. Satan is thinking he's on his own plan, on his own time, on his own control, and he's manipulating the system. He's got all this covered. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. And as long as you know that God has all it covered, guess what? You can have the contentment that you need to watch Satan's work and realize that it's not going to come to fruition. It's not going to go the way he wants it to go. Sorry, Satan. You may have done this. You may have done that. You may have influenced that. But you're not in control. I'm sorry. You don't have the greatness. You don't have the power to do what you're trying to do. You don't. God created you. He gave you whatever power you have. In fact, just the opposite, right? So, and of course, this verse points out the one thing that Satan wants the most, right? Victory. He wants to win. He wants to win. Well, that's God's, as you know. Actually, victory has already been won. It's already been won on the cross. That sealed the deal, didn't it? It did. It died. Christ died for the sins of the world. Now there's an option to get out and go to eternity and live with God forever, even though we failed, which, by the way, Satan was a part of that influence. Remember? He tried to influence the system way back there, and he thought he won when Adam and Eve fell. But guess what? Jesus Christ solved the entire problem. So it wasn't really anything that Satan could do or manipulate, because guess what? God already knew he was going to do that. God already knew Adam and Eve were going to fail, and he had a plan in place already to solve that problem of sin. And really, we're the problem. There's no problem. God doesn't have any problem. There's no problem in solving these things. So, and I think that's a good place to stop, but when we come back, we'll just keep going on this, God's sovereignty. And we may get to marriage. I don't know yet, but, you know, it's sad we even have to have that in the doctrinal statement, to be honest with you, the one on marriage. But it's there, and we'll talk about it. So, anyways, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much just for your plan, for the realization that we are in that plan and you are in full and total control, even though sometimes we may see things differently or view them or our perspective is off. At the end of the day, we know that you're in control, and we just pray that we can continually see that, not only today, but every day, each and every day, because we can enjoy life so much more and just have, you know, a more relaxing time knowing that you have every single moment of our lives in your hands. And we thank you so much for that. And we ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.